Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatos.
On America Can We Talk, I talk about election integrity, border security, healthcare freedom, race relations, energy and tax policy, education policy, free speech and assembly, freedom of religion, and all other issues that touch on the God-given right of every American to life, liberty, and the pursuit of their version of happiness. Stay tuned.
You preach your tolerance, but lecture me. Is there no end to your own hypocrisy? Your God is power, you have no shame. Your only interest is political gain. You hide your eyes and refuse to listen. You play your game.
Coming up next, America Can We Talk with your host, Debbie Georgiatos.
And hello and welcome to America Can We Talk. I'm Debbie Georgiatos, and welcome especially to one of our Thursday shows. I love the Thursday shows because we have a really in-depth conversation with a wonderful subject matter expert, influencer, people whose work on topics that I care deeply about and why I do my show, America Can We Talk. I'm going to quickly mention before I introduce our guest that you may be able to tell I'm not in our usual studio in Dallas. We are out of town visiting family. But I'm so grateful that I can do the show, especially the Thursday show, even from out of town. I want to say special thanks to Real News PR that enables this to happen, and to my producer, Emilio Diaz, who endlessly accommodates last-minute changes, very cheerful all the time, no matter what I change up, and grateful he's available to do this show, too, from here. Also want to mention that, so I'm doing two more Thursdays while we're out here on vacation. Next Thursday, I'm not doing a show. It happens to be our wedding anniversary. We have family coming in. We're going to have a little anniversary fun. And then the final Thursday in August, I have joining me Gordon Chang, who is a tremendous expert on China. And he's always got some amazing new discovery he's made about really the attempt of Chinese inroads to eventually work toward destruction of America, and certainly destruction of America's military and political strength. So he'll be a fabulous guest. But we also have a fabulous, fabulous guest today. In fact, I was telling our guest today, I'm pretty sure when I started doing the special Thursday shows with an in-studio audience, and which, you know, in Dallas every Thursday, we have an in-studio audience. People love the Thursday show. I love the Thursday show. I think he was the very first Thursday guest we had. I'm pretty sure that's true. I meant to look it up, but this would be like 4 years ago now. And he came in to talk about a book that he's written, or I can't remember why he was there, but anyway, we're talking about immigration, and so it's great to have him back on a Thursday. And his name is Todd Benzman, and he is now with the Center for Immigration Studies, or it is CIS.org, and it is a great organization. I just spent a bunch of time on their website this morning. They do in-depth immigration research, policy preparation, testimony. In fact, we'll be talking a little bit about testimony Todd Benzman gave just very recently in the United States Congress related to the condition of our U.S. border, which is, of course, completely terrible. But before we bring him on, I do want to also share with you his title at the Center for Immigration Studies is the Senior National Security Fellow. He is also the author of a book called Overrun: How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History, and also the author of America's Covert Border War, The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. So he's just a great thinker, a great writer, and also before we bring him on, I'll tell you one more thing about him. And the reason I'm doing this, by the way, that, you know, whenever we have a big issue come up in America, we all of a sudden have hundreds and thousands of new experts. We have, everybody's got an opinion. And I love the participation in the American political conversation. I always try in America Can We Talk to bring very serious, substantive experts who can really talk truth about the issues that we are facing. So prior to joining Center for Immigration Studies, Todd Benzman led the Homeland Security intelligence efforts for 9 years in the public sector. In 2009, he transitioned from journalism to join the Texas Department of Public Safety's Intelligence and Counterterrorism Division, where he managed teams of intelligence analysts that worked in concert with federal Homeland Security and U.S. intelligence community agencies to identify and mitigate terrorism threats. This is a substantive, serious student of the immigration issue, of what's happening at our border today. He's down the border frequently, so he can tell you what is happening, and also someone who is accomplished and articulate enough to testify in Congress and try to explain it with the great hope that more action can be taken, even under the present administration, which seems completely delighted to leave the border open. So let me introduce to the show, welcome to the show, Todd Bensman. Hi, Todd.
Great to be here. Great to be here. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great to see you, sir. And actually, you know, I saw you not too long ago. I'm just remembering this because you were in Dallas, where Center for Immigration Studies is putting on a program, that relates to your work, what the center does, and it's really a need for people to understand the fabulous resource and the experts that are available at Center for Immigration Studies. And the I think he's a founder. He's certainly the head of it. Mark Krikorian has been on the show numerous times. And so I went to that, and you all made a great presentation about what is happening at the border and what your work is at Center for Immigration Studies. And I just realized you have an event coming up in Houston, right? I do have that information. Do you want to quick share that?
Yeah, on August 30th, Houston Country Club.
So if people wanted to go to that, how do they sign up?
Well, that's a. I think that one's an invitation only, but if they contact me, I can hook them up. I can hook you
up. Okay. Sorry about that. I was trying to help get some people there, and I'll tell you, I think anyone who listens to this show is a very serious and substantive thinker, but okay. Didn't know. I understand why you would do that, though. I do understand. Okay. So I wanted to start with, I guess, your recent test. I do want to talk about your book because I reread a very lengthy summary of it this morning. It was a great book. But I want to start today, if we can, regarding your testimony. In fact, it was on the Center for Immigration Studies website, for my friends out there, cis.org, testimony, The Real Cost of an Open Border, How Americans Are Paying the Price. And I believe you testified before the House Representatives Committee on Homeland Security and to a particular subcommittee. So how recent was this testimony?
It was about 2 weeks ago. And it was the joint committee of the House, is joint subcommittees of border security and counterterrorism.
Okay. Well, I love they have someone like you who's so knowledgeable. So part of what you did, and I really want to walk people through this, because I think I told you this on the phone the other day, so many people, if you don't live in Texas or California, Arizona, or New Mexico, and you live somewhere else, you may know there's a border security problem. But I loved how your testimony was able to make the point, it's not just the border communities who are impacted by the Biden administration's simple refusal to enforce the border, but the consequences flow around the country. And I thought you ended up making that point very well. So let's just start out with, what were the great policies that President Trump had in place prior to his leaving the White House that helped secure the border? What were the main good things he was doing down there?
Well, I'd have to say there were three. The first main thing that he did was a policy that's known colloquially as Remain in Mexico. And all that was is it was just to say, hey, if we catch you crossing between the ports of entry and you try to claim asylum, we're going to push you back into Mexico to wait for the adjudication of your asylum claim, not wait inside the United States, which means you can just disappear. So then all of a sudden, nobody was interested in asylum, right? Because nobody came for the great Mexican dream. So that caused immigrants by the hundreds of thousands to just stay home and wait for a better day. Nobody wanted to get stuck in Mexico for 4, 5, 6 years. They want to get stuck inside the United States so they can disappear. Number two was, there was a policy put in place that said, if you cross through a safe country that we declare, that we deem safe, you didn't claim asylum in that safe country, you cross 2, 3, 4, 5 borders to get to this safe country, you're automatically, a fraudster. So you have to apply in the first safe country that you come to. And nobody was interested in that because the first safe country was like Guatemala, So, you know, nobody wanted to live in Guatemala. So, and the third one was, those two by themselves were highly effective. A third one was Title 42 when the pandemic came. And that meant that everybody got pushed back who crossed the border into Mexico immediately. No questions asked. Nobody gets to claim asylum. And between those three, the Trump people bequeathed to the Biden people a border that was about maybe 20 to 30,000 apprehensions a month, which sounds high, but not compared to the 200,000 that we've had for the last 30 months every month.
I love you did that summary. And, you know, I do want to touch on one thing before we, what I want to hit today, by the way, I want to talk about your testimony, talk about how things change under Biden, talk about the appearance at the southern border, and in fact, appearance at the Florida border of people who are Chinese military-age men coming into America, the threat that and alarming appearance and threat that seems to pose. I do want to talk about your book. I want to talk about the border buoy, I think the name of it, the floating marine barrier, which the is down there, which at the border in the river, not at the behest of the Biden administration, but because of the efforts of Governor Greg Abbott in the great state of Texas. So I want to hit that too. So yeah, I think that's about it. And then, yeah, we have a bunch of other things. I'm so grateful for your organization because you cover a bunch of things. But back to where we are, so Trump did those things. One of the quick points I was going to make, I understood, because I talked about those policies when Trump was doing them. And part of this whole thing about this safe country was that was actually at least a common understanding of asylum policy even prior to the time Trump made it enforceable, which was the notion that asylum means you are fleeing because you're being persecuted. And so if you're applying for asylum or refuge in a country, you know, if the real fact is you're being persecuted in your own country, then, you know, the human heart wants to say, well, find a place to help you go. But when you're really going through countries where you could make that declaration, seek asylum, and you don't, you're really not an asylee in the true sense of that term. And I just recall reading about that. Asylum was, this is a common provision in other countries. You can't just show up and say, I'd like to become a citizen of your country. You flee where you are with the notion the next safe country you cross is where you're supposed to apply. Hasn't that been kind of a, I don't know if the term is common law, but a common understanding of the idea of asylum in the past?
Yeah, of course. If you cross 10 countries to get to the United States and then you claim political persecution, you need protection, you're just a liar. You could have gone to the country next door to get safety. You're coming because you're an economic migrant and you want to live the fabled, indulgent American lifestyle, let's face it. And most of them will say so. If you interview, like I do, immigrants on the way here before lawyers get to them, that's what they'll tell you. I'm coming to work. We can make a lot more money in the United States than anywhere else. Well, that is not a grounds for, that's not political persecution. That's, you're an economic migrant and you will be expelled under our laws. Or you're supposed to be expelled under our laws.
Yeah, but that would be assume we have enforcement of our current laws, which is another problem that we have in America. In any case, I love that you testified recently in Congress with the joint committee you described, and you hit on three ways in which there's a broader impact on the American population by the utterly unenforced border of America. The three you hit on were the public school systems, public school burden, unnecessary preventable crime, which many organizations are pointing out, you know, the rise in crime committed at the hands of people who really shouldn't have been here anyway. And the third being unfunded burdens for local communities. And the reason I like you did that is I didn't necessarily support the effort when Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis started busing people up to New York and other places, because they're kind of busing people in the same thing that conservatives were saying, that's what Biden was doing, letting people in and busing them all over the place. And so it didn't really solve the problem, but it did start to make the point. You've now had people in, I think it was New York City mayors, you know, whining about, this is terrible, we don't have enough resources. So it kind of brought the problem home. But actually, let me ask you, what was your thought about that busing policy? Did you think that was a wise way to handle things or make a point so it was worth it?
You know, I thought it was a little gimmicky. At the time, I thought it was a I appreciated it, though. It was a fun gimmick. It didn't do anybody any harm whatsoever, not the immigrants, not the community that was receiving it. But it made a good point, and I think just ahead of the midterm elections, it brought a lot of attention to the fact that the southern border is an open sieve, that everybody who reaches it gets in, is allowed in for the first time in American history. Now, the fact of the matter is that tens of thousands of immigrants had been going of their own volition to these same cities for a year and a half straight. The busing that the Texans did was nothing new at all. It just attracted media cameras. But all of those cities are already just completely filled to the rafters with illegal immigrants.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just hit the three impacts that you described in your testimony to Congress. I'm just so impressed and grateful you did this. The first one, you talk about the public school system, and I know you went into in your testimony, if you can briefly summarize for us the benefit that people who are coming over America's southern border illegally, that comes to them if they bring children with them. And this has to do with the Flores settlement. Can you just quickly tell why all of a sudden it became popular to drag kids along or to have some, as we've now been talking about, unaccompanied minors? Would you explain that situation?
Well, remember earlier in your show, I mentioned some of the Trump policies that were in place. On the very first day, I was literally inauguration day. Remember, I mentioned Title 42 and Remain in Mexico and the Safe Third Country. All three of those policies were killed on inauguration day. And new policies were put in place that created exemptions in Title 42 pushbacks for families with young children, unaccompanied minors, and pregnant women. So if you were one of those categories anywhere in Latin America or anywhere in the entire world and you heard that, you were going to be on your way to the border because we were going to let you in. So if you showed up as a kid or with a kid, or pregnant with a kid or postpartum, we let you in guaranteed 100% of the time. So that means that this, and it's never stopped, and that means that this mass migration crisis was very child-centric, school-age children, hundreds upon hundreds of thousands, and I argue millions of school-age children have crossed over that border in the last 30 months alone, and they have to go somewhere. Where do they go? All over America into your public school system. 1982 Supreme Court ruling says we got to take them, and you can't ask about, you know, immigration status or anything like that. And so this is a very obvious first place that most average Americans will feel the pain of that sudden influx of non-English speaking, uninsured, uneducated or undereducated children in your school districts where there's no space. Nobody budgeted for them. It wasn't anything that anybody could plan for. And so I brought that up, especially one particular case study here in Texas, Liberty County, Texas, the Cleveland Independent School District, to just show how incredibly painful it is to a school district. That one grew, it quintupled in size inside of 5 years, and 90% Latino students, 55% are not proficient in English, and huge numbers of them weren't even educated enough in their own countries to be able to take a standardized test, and yet they will be taking standardized tests and have been. All sorts of problems happening in our school districts, uncovered, no media attention whatsoever to any of this. The Cleveland Independent School District did not reach out to me. I just knocked the door. And they said, oh, my God, let me tell you the story. That's happening all across America. What that looks like is tax hiking bond elections every year to pay for portable classrooms and expansions of existing facilities so there's some place to put them, hiring teachers, implementing ESL curriculum, bringing in ESL teachers, lower standards, lower grades, lower standardized test scores, and school districts that your kids and your families might not want to be in anymore.
You know, I'm so glad you're raising that point. And it really is true. You know, you hear people, especially during the Obama era where they were letting everybody in, everyone was sympathizing with the children. Oh, we got to care for these children. But, you know, the fact is, when we say we have to care for them, the American people didn't vote for this policy. They did not agree that the southern border should be overrun. They did not agree that anyone in the world can simply walk over the border and be granted, because they happen to have a child with them, be granted capacity to come into the country, even if they're told, hey, by the way, you're going to have an asylum hearing, which they, of course, never come to. This is an unfunded mandate. It's also not governments by we the people. It is really an overrunning. It is a policy embraced by this administration that simply forces school districts around the country to accommodate this. And as you say, if they don't speak English, they're not up to proficiency in whatever the subject matters are, the entire focus of effort by the administration, the teachers, has to adjust to this new population. And again, no one except the Biden administration decided they wanted to do this. This wasn't a vote by the American people. I love that you brought that up. And on the public schools, too, so much strain already, so much pressure on the schools already about funding and all of that. To add this absolutely unnecessary element, it really deprives many families.
No coverage of it either, but I mean, if you're watching this, go ahead and Google the name of your school district and portable classrooms. And if you see that your school district is buying a ton of portable classrooms, just dig a little bit deeper and you'll see that those are all illegal migrant children.
You know, I just want to say something too. And when Mark Corcoran was on this show, it was quite a while ago, we talked about a lot, which was the idea. America has a very generous legal immigration system. And I think when we were talking about it, it was like a million people a year. People will follow the law and come to America. So if someone lives in some country where they do not feel they have the best opportunity to move forward in life, or their children, they want a better life for them, we actually offer that in America. We offer a system. So the people who follow that and then come to America and put their children in public schools, who follow the immigration laws, they're harmed too, because the schools their kids are going to attend are going to have all the same. Do you say the have to provide education to people who didn't who just flaunted the law? Any comment?
That's right. That's exactly right. And you know, most of the immigrant parents that are coming in are not homeowners, so they're not paying for any of this. It's the pre-existing parents and students who are paying the cost for all of these newcomers, and they didn't ask for it, but they are being asked to approve bond elections successively across the country. Google your school district and bond election. You'll find that they're asking you for more money every single year to pick up this tab.
Okay. Hey, before we get, I want to discuss the two other points you made about overarching impacts of illegal immigration and the southern border being overwhelmed, which are public school burdens, unnecessary crime, and unfunded burdens for local communities. But before I do that, I meant to ask you at the beginning, give us a broad sweep of the numbers. You made some allusion to them earlier, but the broad sweep of the numbers. What is the result of the lax policy at the border? I mean, I think everyone knows the answer, but just put it in numerical and some perspective in terms of numbers, what's happening at the border.
Sure. Well, first of all, in any given year prior to the Biden administration going back 15 years, let's just say, the typical number that would be apprehended by Border Patrol would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 300,000 to 400,000 a year. Sounds like a lot. We wish we could see that now, but 300,000 to 400,000 a year every year, that's just the number that Border Patrol laid hands on. We are looking at 200 plus thousand every month now, and it's been that way for 30 months straight. That's the number of apprehensions at the border, somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 million in the last 2.5 years, 9 million. So, quintuple the normal number. The number of people that were actually, that we think are in the country that got, didn't get pushed back under Title 42 when it was still around, is somewhere in the neighborhood, we believe, of about 5 million people that are newly entered and living in the United States that the administration either let in, stamp their papers and let them in to self-report at an interior ICE office at their convenience, or who ran and got away undetected. We think that there's about 2 million of those, that we call them gotaways, that were able to get through. That's a huge record. Nothing like that, no numbers like that ever in the history of the country, on any of these numbers in the history of the country. Millions and millions of people. And I just want to point out that we're only about a little more than halfway through. There are millions more coming. We are not done with this. They are pouring over that southern border today, yesterday, next month, the month after. There is no let up whatsoever, all the way until maybe there's a new occupant of the White House. If there isn't, this is going to go on another 4 years. You'll have 20 million, 30 million people in the United States crossing the border.
Absolutely. And one thing I really appreciate and respect about the Center for Immigration Studies, which is where whom you're connected, they are very, very conservative and very careful in the estimates they give. Because I can tell you, our lieutenant governor in this state, I've heard him speak in the great state of Texas, Dan Patrick, been on the show recently. You know, he's a great guy. But in any case, he has given far higher estimates of the, than you're describing, of the number of illegal aliens residing in America likely to be by the time Biden's first term ends. I'm just saying, you're conservative, and I appreciate that about that. And maybe because it's probably extremely, you know, you can back it with what you've observed. But I, you know, you hear many people very serious things. The numbers are far higher.
Just the conservative numbers are terrible enough. And we do admit that this is probably an undercount, mainly due to the gotaways, because gotaways are notoriously poorly accounted for. The people that got through, you count their tracks in the foot, their tracks in the sand or from a blimp or something. And then when nobody caught them, so we count those. But the true, the scope of the gotaways has got to be much higher, because Border Patrol has been pulled off of the border in huge swaths of the borderlands, and there's nobody to count the footprints.
Exactly. Okay, because I want to hit so many other topics, I'll quickly touch on the two other points.
J&M Jewelry provides online jewelry appraisals that are convenient, secure, and affordable. Appraisals are usually completed within 48 hours and sent directly to your email. Contact us today or visit our website to use our appraisal request form. J&MJewelry.com.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now, post your videos today, and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
The Kelley Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelley Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelley Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future-ready from gun bans with the Kelley Key. The Kelley Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KelleyKey.com with free shipping.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because, of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement, and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
Capital punishment shows the world the true story of January 6, 2021. The event was years in the making, and the threat to the survival of America as we know it has never been greater. Not only is this film a must-see, but it's already one of the most censored films of all time. Just visit hisglory.tv today to get your copy. Capital Punishment, everything they told you was a lie.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border, who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
If you're from China. So they fly in, and then, of course, there's no return ticket. Or if there is a return ticket, the planes are empty. Nobody's returning. And then, you know, they go through the Darien Gap, or sometimes they fly directly into Mexico, Cancun, or Tijuana, and then they'll just hit our border and declare asylum. A lot of them are saying that they're fleeing the COVID pandemic lockdowns of the draconian lockdowns, and that's their political persecution. We let all of them in. We don't deport any Chinese. Every Chinese gets in. Most of them come in with no identification whatsoever. I lost it. I got robbed. I have no ID. So we have no idea really who any of these people are. And as I've mentioned to you, and I've written many times, that I believe that there are probably spies among them. Why not? They bring the Chinese send spies into the United States. Research facilities all the time, and we catch them, and there's lots of economic espionage going on. Of course, they're bringing them in that way, too. So that's about all I can tell you about that. They do spend about anywhere from $8,000 to $30,000 a head for the journey, the smuggling all the way through. They're very well equipped, very well prepared. They have everything. These are very well-planned journeys.
Okay, I've got to say, Todd Benjamin, I am glad to have all that validation from you. I want to encourage our listeners to think about what you're just hearing now and contrast it with or meld it together with your understanding the various reports we've heard recently on this show, the recent interview of 2 or 3 weeks ago with Sam Faddis, a former CIA operative, covert undercover operator for decades, who is describing the Chinese intention to take down America, along with Brad Thayer, wonderful national security expert, been talking about the Chinese intentions toward America. And in 2 weeks from today, August 31st, we have Gordon Chang coming on. I'm just, I'm wanting to raise this to say we can't, first of all, as to what Todd was saying, obviously somebody's paying for this. These are not the Chinese. Average citizen young men are not wealthy, and somehow they're coming. I'm going to give you some numbers in a moment from the Border Patrol, but these people are not coming of their own volition, are not coming on their own dime. Somehow someone's paying for them. It's very orchestrated. It's very organized. It's large numbers of people coming into America, Chinese military age men. And I say that, I use the term military age men because there's great concern about China's intentions toward America. China has very openly talked about the desire to take down America. They intend by, the first we're saying by 2049, the great 100th anniversary or 50th anniversary of their takeover. Now they're saying that of the CCP takeover of China. Now they're saying we're going to have America taken down before then. You'll hear some amazing reports from Gordon Chang about that. It's very, very serious. I'm getting at not only the first part of this interview, we're talking about how the impact of the failure to enforce the border is simply impacting schools and cities and crimes, and it is. And there's no effort to enforce the border. You have to get that through your head. This is not just sloppy policy. It's a policy decision to not enforce the border. Compound that with what we're talking about now with these Chinese military age men crossing America's border at a time when Congress is deeply looking into the Biden family having brought in millions of dollars directly flowing from the CCP to the Biden family. And now you have individuals coming to America in various ways, well-stocked, well-planned, well-organized, obviously ready to do something, and they're funded by someone. Now I have to give you some numbers. During the first, this is from U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CPB. During the first 6 months of fiscal year 2023, which actually began October 2022, border agents apprehended 6,558 Chinese migrants, and these are just the ones they caught. 6,558 Chinese migrants who entered the U.S. outside of a legal port of entry. This apprehension of that number of Chinese migrants in 6 months nearly equals the combined totals of the entire six previous years. So the total we had last year is the same as the previous, the last 6 years. There's also now reports of Chinese illegal aliens entering America from sailing in on boats into Florida, apprehended in Miami by the Border Patrol. And these are people, they have no right to be here. They found their way here. They're funded well enough to travel around the world, get an airline ticket, or however it is they got here. And they're coming in. So when I tell you that the concern and just outrage level of the Biden administration, it just cannot be high enough. Last statistic is, in February, officials said the Rio Grande Valley sector, one of the busiest sectors along the U.S. southern border, has seen more than a 900% increase in Chinese nationals over the same time last year. A 900, and I'm going to put this up on our website later, but please understand this is not just an interesting, you know, observation about what, you know, who's coming to the border. It is very alarming for anyone paying attention and who is funding it. I mean, easy to point the finger at China, but the idea that China speaks openly of its desire to take down America, they're sending people here, and you have the Border Patrol under the direction of the Biden administration doing nothing. They simply don't enforce the border. Okay, I want to get that spiel in because I can't tell you how much. I just think people should be on their feet protesting. I want to turn to the floating marine barrier, but I do want to ask you first if you have anything you want to comment about the story I was just telling about the number of people coming here from China illegally.
Other than that, there are far more than the 6,500 that you mentioned for the first 6 months of 2023. It's probably three times that many now. By this time, they're still coming in large numbers. That's it. Lots more coming.
That's amazing. Okay, last thing is, so here in the great state of Texas, Governor Abbott, you know, Texans have been really lobbying or agitating for the governor of Texas to take action to enforce the border because the Biden administration, as a chosen policy objective, will not enforce the southern border. I mean, what they did on Inauguration Day is all you need to know what the Biden team did. So Governor Abbott decided he has this thing called a floating marine barrier. And Mr. Emilio, I sent you a picture of one of those. Just quickly show our audience what that looks like. Did you get that, Emilio? Yeah, okay, look. Just hang on one second. Leave it up there for a second. So these are in the river. And so this is a obviously orange barrier. You won't fail to see it, and wrapped around in metal of some kind. But it's also, it has nets. If they're floating buoys, like B-U-O-Y-S, never know that, say that word correctly, floating buoys with nets weighted to the floor of the river. So you can't swim under them because there are nets weighted to the floor. And this has now been put in as the first 1,000 feet along a high traffic stretch of the Rio Grande in Eagle Pass. So basically it's stopping people from crossing the river entering America. So you can go back to me now, Emilio. Thank you. Actually, no, quickly, other show picture too. There's another picture too, stepping back a bit. So that's how it looks. I mean, you know, it stops you from crossing the river. So there have been some objections, shockingly, from the Biden administration about how can you possibly stop these illegal immigrants from crossing into America? So, you know, I wanted to ask you first, there's a very, very serious concern expressed about what is the term, mussel. It is some kind of animal lives in the river. Yeah, so tell us about that. That was the first objection the Biden administration came up with, is that it'll hurt some river animal, right? Go ahead.
Well, yeah. So there's only 1,000 feet of this barrier, the water floating barrier, implemented at this point. But the plan was to keep adding and adding and adding to it. And that was the threat to the Biden administration that forced action. And I mean multi-front war against this thing. Why? Because these things really work. It is like next to impossible to get to swim over it or under it or anything. So the longer that barrier it is, it will literally stop the mass migration crisis. The proponents of mass migration know this. They know this in their guts. They know this in their heart of hearts that this thing will work. And so they had to declare war on that barrier. That's what's going on. First thing that happened was the Biden administration filed a lawsuit claiming you didn't get the right permissions, this, that, the other, federal lawsuit to have them remove that until they can get the permission that they'll never get, of course, because it has to be given by the Biden administration. So then the next thing that they did was, well, if that doesn't work, we'll make up a bunch of fake stories about the barrier and spread it around in the media. So they spread around in the media that the barrier had killed migrants, that migrants were dying on this thing, all of which has been proven to be untrue. Nobody has died on this thing or as a result of it or anywhere near it. But the propaganda is still out there. A third one is that, you know, there's all these razor wire all over it that's going to just kill immigrants that come anywhere near it. That's a lie. So there's all kinds of a big misinformation propaganda campaign going on about that to gin up political opposition against it. And then the last thing, if all else fails, is the administration's U.S. Fish and Wildlife decided to propose a regulation to extend Endangered Species Act protections to a mussel. A shellfish that's threatened and rare that just so happens to live right there in Eagle Pass, Texas, and all downstream from where they were planning to expand the barrier. Now that's going to take a few months to process, but there's no explanation in this thing about how floats on top or even the nets are going to have any effect at all on clams. As I wrote in my piece for the Daily Mail a few days ago, the clams die from dirty water. The water is filthy dirty because of the mass migration crisis. All the people crossing by the millions living on the Mexican side, dumping their garbage and trash by the tons right into that river. That is what is, if anything else, is killing the mussels, as well as the fact that they're crushing footsteps across the river bottom by the millions of people. No clam is going to be able to survive just the pounding footsteps. The whole thing is absurd and, I think, an obvious cynical ploy. And also, I'd point out, if all of a sudden they're so interested in the environment, where are they, environmentalists, about the filth that is being dumped into that river every day and destroying the riparian habitat on both sides of that river? I have photos and video to show just the devastation, the environmental catastrophe that has befallen that river since this mass migration began. That river barrier, I would contend, would be the one thing that could save the river and the clams.
Yes, a good point. You know, in your article, it was a great article. I meant to mention to our listeners, they should definitely check out your article that relates to these floating marine barriers and all these silliness about the litigation, about your New York Post article. You had pictures in there of the level of trash, and I mean, and I never thought about it, but people cross the river, many people are using the river as their restroom because there's no place. I mean, they're literally defecating in the river. They are obviously urinating, they get caught, the river's filthy, the people know not to drink the water, they get out, they strip off their wet clothes, they pile up, there's wet clothes, dirty clothes, diapers, you know, food wrappers, piling up by the tons. The pictures in the New York Post article were kind of gross, I decided not to show them, but they really, it's what people have to understand, this is not just a human story. All these environmentalists who care so much about everything, every little creature, and yet they're allowing the river to be just grotesquely fouled by this process, and they're more concerned to perpetuate the endless illegal immigration to America, even if it means hurting the river, and they are willing to step up and come up with a cockamamie theory about these mussels being somehow endangered by these new barriers. It's simply unbelievable. Actually, one of the things, so it's Fish and Wildlife, and they said it threatens endangered riverbed mussels. There was also the argument violates international requirements. Like, you should have gotten a permit from the government, which obviously would never come. The other funny thing was a private lawsuit by a kayaking company claiming the barrier ruins the recreational experience. I mean, it's just, these are all these left-wingers who love open borders, who do not care that we enforce our southern border. And they're hysterical because some border state, the biggest border state with the most people entering, the gray state of Texas, found an effective and really very clean and positive way to stop this madness, this migration through the river. And they're hysterical, but just making up foolishness. It's truly breathtaking. If you're ever looking for an admission that the entire purpose of everything the Biden administration is doing on the border, their entire purpose is to flood America with illegal aliens, you can fill in the blank of what you think will happen next. I have many ways I have filled the blank in. But there is not an effort to say, let's get the border under control. Let's try to make a safer process for the immigrants. Let's try to make sure no more people drown in the river. None of that's going on in the Biden administration. None. It's all about leave the dang border open and flood America, and we'll never lift a finger to enforce the border. It's simply outrageous. Obviously, it makes me very mad because I think the American people, they didn't vote for this and they don't want it. Any more comment on that? I have one more. That was my next rant, but you can go ahead.
Which part? That they don't want it? They didn't vote for it?
Yeah. You didn't respond to any of it. I mean, this is a good question. Is there any basis? You have studied immigration practice, immigration policy, and law for years. Is there any pro-border enforcement, pro-protect America mission that is being carried forth by the policies the Biden administration has in place?
I mean, every statutory requirement has been dismantled. There is no, they did everything, they told us what they were gonna do. We're going to end detention, which is a major deterrent. We're gonna end deportation. We're going to make the illegal entry safe. We're going to make illegal entry orderly, and we're going to make it legal. And they've done all of that. They followed through on their campaign promises to the letter. What that means is there's no impediment to illegal entry. One way or another, you're going to get into the country if you show up at the southern border. That's just the way it's been for 2.5 years. It's going to stay that way. I don't see any change at all.
Flaming outrageous. Okay. I do want to take a couple of minutes about your book, and I know I mentioned at the beginning of the show that your book is Overrun, How Joe Biden Unleashed the Greatest Border Crisis in U.S. History. Mr. Emilio, I sent you a picture of the book. I don't have it with me. I have it at home, but we are on vacation, but that's what the book looks like. That's it, right?
That's it. I have one right here.
Oh, that's more beautiful. There you go. And you can order it on Amazon, which I believe I did. So anyway, you can get his book. It's a really compelling book. One thing you talked about in there I think would be fun to talk about today was as you worked along the border as a journalist and then working with immigration officials of all kinds, you came across the understanding of the term la envidia, and I don't speak Spanish. I can use the French accent, but I'm in Spanish, la invitación, the invitation. You talked about that in this book. And can you just describe in your interviews of people coming across the border, what that term meant?
Right. So this was very early in the border crisis. I knew what was happening, but it hadn't been reported yet widely, but I could see what was happening. So I went to the Mexican town of Ojinaga, which is across from Presidio, Texas, very desert, remote territory. I went there because there was this huge spike in runners who were getting away, who were being caught in groups of 50 or 100 in backpacks, back hiking through the wilderness to Interstate 10. And I ran into a smuggling guide for La Linea Cartel under a bridge. He had just gotten back. He had a block of cocaine and a couple of prostitutes with him, and he was celebrating his recently completed journey, where he had made a lot of money. And it was the last of many journeys where he had made a lot of money. There were more people coming through Ojinaga for these, paying $10,000 and $12,000 a piece for these smuggling trips, that I decided to go there and try to find out why, what was going on. And I asked this smuggler while they were partying under the bridge with some friends, to what do you owe this great prosperity of yours? Ojinaga's never been famous for, a lot of human smuggling, but now the numbers are through the roof. And his answer was, he went just like this. He goes, "La invitación," the invitation. I said, "Well, what is that?" And he said, "Well, it's the thing that we interpret when Joe Biden ended deportation in the interior. He had just implemented a..."